interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricket Tube Busting Episode BTWRLM 681. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed and bring those miscreants with you. And this is donation season, on and on here. We need a lot of help from even a little bit. Will work. A little bit. Coffees, I understand, work. That's KOFIS.com or whatever. What's our account? Go to reallibertymedia.com. Find the donate buttons, if you will, please. And let's get some more money for the equipment to go and some services that we're needing to bring on. And slowly bringing this thing back to what it should be. It's a network. And we have lots of people. We've had lots of people. Hopefully we'll have a lot more content. I was hoping for more to show up, but it isn't quite yet. Maybe everyone's talked out. Who knows? I know that I have trouble finding some subject, but it's because of some of what I do. And I try to not just talk about the news, even though I read a lot of it anymore. Inside that news is a notice to us. I call it a noostis. It explains to us what's going on, but it explains how things go on. It explains what we are to notice in order to give us the opportunity to respond, if we will. And so that I've talked about how to do all that for a long time in lots of different subject matter areas across the newsness. Everything you see in the news, lots of it can have a notice to us on how we're supposed to respond. And so it's been more and more difficult to come up with new information, new things to talk about in new ways that isn't just go listen to the past cast and the broadcast. Because it's all sort of been said again. As you hear me respond, even to my own work, saying, well, we talked about this last episode. We talked about this during the Great Covey Swindle. We talked about a lot of these things. I've talked about how the system was set up against us. They did it right in front of our face. But when no one reads the law, no one reads the agency rules, then which is dry and boring, then right where why they put them there, then we don't understand how to go about stopping what we want. That said, there's been enough people talking and out that suggests to people that there is something to do and not to be quiet. And that's a big start. And this data centers, fantastic. Yeah, I see great utility in this. If we would just use it as an impetus to move against. The same thing as the Great Covey Swindle. I told you, all societies had a great chance to go up against every tyrannical government that never wanted to follow its own laws. And no government followed its own laws, and every peoples across the world had the opportunity, and we pretty much failed. And they're working and gaming us still. And that so-called Great Reset, it's been working on. And Trump is one of the guys bringing it on, and he cannot even know that he's doing it. And that's the really sinister thing about the insidious thing about what we're up against. You don't have to be knowing about something to be a part of bringing that nasty thing in. Because they work on our feelings. They know us better than ourselves. I said over and over. And you'll find out how much of a non-spectator you is when the vampire squid squads put their electrified tentacles on you. ICE agents could soon be outfitted with shock gloves. Civil liberties groups warn of abuse and lack of oversight. And remember, the Supreme Court has just allowed it will provide no oversight. Your ethnicity, or the perceived ethnicity, is enough to get you tied up. But what? Yeah, that's everyone that looks like any foreigner out there, right? Gets to be brought up by ICE anymore. ICE can detain U.S. citizens, so-called, because they don't have to believe your proof of citizenship, especially when they flocked you hard enough to claim you are wrong. Again, talked about this in the past, that this is a noostis. They're giving you a notice. Not the shocking gloves, that they're going to be able to do this to us. All this news that came through was noticed to us. We have the opportunity to move against it, if we only will. And so here we are, because none of us did. I'll say none of us. I know a lot of people get insulted when I say everybody. No, none of us actually substantively moved against it. And now this is where we are. We get to see ICE agents with shocking gloves. And people, I don't think, truly appreciate that we can be wrongfully stopped, handcuffed, injured, detained, denied medical medication, humiliated or held for long hours or longer during immigration enforcement operations due to misidentification, database errors, profiling, or reckless tactics. Profiling, folks. Those of you who think you don't do anything wrong, like the government goons gone ape, don't like the way you look, might be one reason. And please understand, that was one of my first problems with getting into all this, is I was profiled as someone I'm not by some local city cops in a traffic case. And that was what started me back in about 93 in looking at where did America go? Where did America went? And that's the day I told you and made a little bit of discussion explaining, that's the day I almost died because some cops decided they didn't like my looks. Because I have a face for radio, don't you know? So don't think that just because you haven't done something wrong, you're immune. Your rights are not going to protect you from the next tool in ICE's enforcement kit, which may be a pair of gloves that double as hidden stun devices. The agency plans to spend about $20 million on thousands of GLOVE, glove units, electrified gloves made by Kentucky-based Compliant Technologies by March, according to Homeland Security Notice. Notice, see? This is Noostis. It's Notice. I'm telling you all about it here. You get to respond if you will. And where's Rand Paul? Kentucky, where's Rand Paul when you need him? Oh, that's right. He's been busy covering up that he gave Fraudshi a get-out-of-jail-free card. The gear works like standard patrol gloves until an officer flips a switch, allowing them to deliver a sharp electrical jolt when pressed directly against a person's skin. The name stands for Generated Low Output Voltage Emitter Glove. Some jails and police departments already use them. Supporters say the short bee sting-like shock can quickly gain compliance and avoid visible injuries. And to that, I just say, start keeping some bees. Get stung a couple times and find out what that feels like, and then you'll be immune at least to that sting. The device is similar to a taser, but not as high in voltage. And you know, when I was making medieval armor a number of decades ago, I had the thought there might be a need to make very light chainmail for people. Maybe that wasn't such a far-fetched idea here. I hear today there's also cloth made with metal wires in it. Maybe something to consider as we enter Planet of the Apes meets Mad Max world. But civil rights advocates, including the ACLU, warn that arming ICE agents with nearly invisible pain delivery tools invites abuse, especially amid ongoing criticism of the agency's use of force. I don't see how it doesn't invite abuse. The government goons are essentially immune, aren't they? The manufacturer says the gloves shouldn't be used as a punishment for mere, quote, verbal defiance or belligerence, close quote, nor should they be used on vulnerable people, including those who are pregnant, elderly, disabled, or children. That'll be the whole population where you all have to age verify, don't we? Isn't it? Maybe that's another argument right there. Shouldn't be used. Shouldn't be used? Really? Shouldn't be used. And who is going to believe whom when they do where they shouldn't? A U.S. judge brands Meta public nuisance. Another public nuisance here. U.S. judge brands Meta public nuisance akin to air pollution. The landmark New Mexico ruling brings total penalties for Facebook parent company to nearly $1 billion, Bravo dollars, over harm to children. A New Mexico judge has declared Meta a, quote, public nuisance, close quote, comparing the social media giant to a polluting factory. The ruling orders the company to establish an abatement fund and overhaul key features of its platforms over alleged harm to children. Judge Byron Bideshead on Thursday ordered the parent company on Facebook and Instagram to pay an additional $567 million, bringing the total penalties in the case to $942 million. After a $375 million judgment in March. The ruling, that's just a drop in the bucket. That's how much it costs Zuck to fill his one of his yachts up with crude oil, isn't it? To run his boat around. The ruling appears to be the first time a social media company has been found to constitute a public nuisance, a legal concept traditionally reserved for hazards that affect society at large, such as air pollution, toxic waste, or contaminated water. Quote, just as noxious pollution produced by the factory can harm the common public right to reasonable clean air, the harmful effects of Meta's platform on children do not stay contained by its platforms, close quote, the judge wrote. New Mexico sued Meta in 2023, accusing the company of exposing children to sexually explicit material, sexual predators, and addictive platform features. Bideshide cited evidence that the state's youth mental health crisis had worsened in recent years, including higher rates of depression, eating disorders, and suicide among adolescents. Sounds like maybe some the children over on the USS Lincoln maybe are getting a little bit too much Facebook time. The ruling also requires Meta to prevent adults from messaging minors, stop recommending underage accounts to adults, remove public like counts for users under 18, limit push notifications overnight and during school hours, impose a monthly usage cap on minors across Facebook and Instagram, and delete accounts belonging to users under 13, along with all personal information collected from them. Maybe it's not such a good idea to verify your age. You'd be cut right out of all these public nuisances, and you'll find the places like reallibertymedia.com where you can enjoy all the information you need. Please donate. Find the buttons. Be a content provider. Call Sound Minds. Enter the chat. Give us your comments. Meta said it disagrees with the ruling and will appeal, as is our right. The decision comes amid a broader crackdown on children's use of social media. Australia has adopted a minimum age of 16 for social media accounts. France has passed a ban for under 15s, and the UK has tightened age verification and online child safety rules. Meta still faces thousands of lawsuits across the U.S. alleging its platform harmed children's mental health or failed to protect minors. And how is Monsatan escaping? Well, Meta's the new Monsatan, I suppose, only they got caught. As I characterized last episode, that was BTWRLM 680. This week, from the Department of the Nature of the Beast, Meta says its AI went rogue. As well, again. Apparently, you aren't considered part of the error-prone frontier if your AI doesn't go rogue, and that can adversely affect that stock price they're all so worried about. Me too. Look here. Our AI became a criminal too. But what does that mean? How are these surveillance, data centers allowing the criminal trespass a genuine public interest? Remember, I've been asking this question relative to all the land that's being used for the data centers that are being taken from people or the power lines. Turn these problems into questions of public, genuine public interest for yourselves in a challenge against the taking. Here's another one. Again, we're given the notice in the news. The Noostis, in order to work this thing through, if we didn't have another clue, that's a place to start. Mark Zuckerberg's company has said its flagship LLM carried out a hacking operation following similar admissions by OpenAI and Anthropic. Meta has become the third major tech company to report its AI going rogue and hacking a third-party company. The incident involved MuseSpark 1.1, an AI model marketed by the company as, quote, super intelligent, close quote. So we are now to know that super intelligent now means rogue global criminal, because it wasn't too super intelligent to go rogue, was it? And we all know that smart, S-M-A-R-T, is not too intelligent, actually. In a statement to the media Wednesday, Meta said that the model was undergoing testing by a cybersecurity company, Irregular, when it, quote, exploited a security vulnerability, close quote, in Irregular's system, accessed the open internet, and hacked an unnamed third company. Meta blamed the incident on a, quote, misconfiguration, close quote, in Irregular's system. Meta unveiled Muse Spark 1.1 less than a month before the security incident. Why isn't this hacking a crime? I just don't get that. And the American Invaders Frontier, AI Frontier, American Invaders Frontier, AI Frontier, have nothing on China because it's the inescapable nature of the beast, you see. China AI escapes safety sandbox. Talking about children nuisances. Maybe we're not dealing with the toddlers and the sandbox is inappropriate. The incident with startup Moonshot's flagship Kimi K3 follows similar testing breaches reported by OpenAI and Anthropic. So this is some sort of universal law we're dealing with, right? Yeah, so stay tuned to the next article as well when I get over to it. A leading Chinese artificial intelligence model has found a way around restrictions during a controlled cybersecurity test, adding to the growing concerns about the effectiveness of AI safeguards, U.S.-based cybersecurity research firm Frontier Security has said. These descriptions of the event seem to lack any self-awareness. A controlled cybersecurity test? Apparently controlled doesn't mean what I thought it meant. How about you? The researchers identified the model as a startup Moonshot flagship Kimi Kane 3, saying it accessed online information during an evaluation in an isolated testing environment developed by the UK's AI Security Institute. So apparently not so isolated. The system is designed to keep AI models disconnected from the internet while their capabilities are assessed. Houston, we have a problem. Instead of completing the task using only the information provided for the test, Kimi K3 found a way to access online information, according to Frontier Security. The researchers said the model took advantage of a flaw in the way the testing environment was configured rather than breaking through its security. So it sounds like to me that the answer then is to have these AI models look at the testing environment first, don't it? And it seems a bit of a sensational stretch then to conclude this model is adding to growing concerns about the effectiveness of AI safeguards where it did not break security based on a design flaw. Unlike some AI models involved in recent testing incidents, Kimi K3 did not attempt to access or attack external websites or computer systems, Frontier Security said. However, the researchers said that the incident suggests that the model lacks some of the built-in cyber safeguards found in rival AI systems and could pose greater risks because it is already publicly available for developers to download, modify, and use. Posing a greater risk than the rival AI models that destroyed their built-in cyber safeguards? Are the people for real, or are they suffering AI hallucinations? It follows a similar testing mishap reported in recent weeks by OpenAI and Anthropic, whose AI models also broke out of their intended testing environments during controlled evaluations. Although there, they broke out of their guardrails, remember. In some of those cases, the systems interacted with external online services while attempting to complete assigned tasks. The latest findings add to growing scrutiny of advanced AI systems as governments, researchers, and technology companies seek to strengthen safety testing. Recent evaluations have shown the increasingly capable AI models can exploit unintended weaknesses in the testing environment or act beyond the limits set by researchers. Sounds like AI overachievers to me. Coming to a Siberian gulag inmate near to you. Well, actually, you. And how convenient, if it's not gone by government, $89 million crypto theft blamed on new AI paradigm. And that's a bit more than a paradigms for sure. Malicious actors will use new tools to identify the smallest software flaws, the maker of a high-security Bitcoin wallet has warned. The theft of at least $89 million in cryptocurrency that was supposedly safely stored in a high-security hardware wallet has prompted the producer to warn that a new AI paradigm is redefining cybersecurity. And a whole lot more than that, if you're on the receiving end, I can say. Hardware wallets are physical devices that store the private keys needed to access cryptocurrency and have long been considered safer than leaving digital assets on exchanges. Last week, however, users of some cold card wallets saw their funds drained by unidentified perpetrators in a series of attacks. The theft was unusual because the attackers managed to determine users' keys after discovering that the wallet's algorithm did not generate sufficiently random numbers. The devices themselves were not hacked and were not connected to the internet, as is typical with so-called cold storage. Cryptocurrencies function through distributed ledgers that record transactions, while secret cryptographic keys are used to verify that a transfer was authorized by the legitimate owner. Quote, "We believe this is a sober reality of the new AI paradigm," close quote, Rodolfo Novak, CEO of the Canadian company CoinKite Incorporated, wrote Friday in a message apologizing for the flaw in cold card devices. That flaw? Are you sure it wasn't a feature? And why is it being reported that every reference to the CEO's Jewish so-called heritage is being hacked from the internet? Quote, AI-assisted code review can now find latent bugs at a speed that is outpacing even the industry's most seasoned experts, close quote, he added. If your firmware is open source or has ever been public, assume it's already being read by attackers and defenders alike, close quote. CoinKite issued its first warning to customers on Thursday, urging them to spread the word that users needed to update the affected firmware, originally released in March 2021, and to move their Bitcoin to new accounts protected by newer generated seeds. By Sunday, digital financial platform Galaxy said it had identified three separate waves of attacks against cold card users, resulting in the theft of 1,367.05 BTC worth about $88.6 million at the time. On Monday, it warned of a likely fourth attack and estimated that the losses could rise to 2,055 BTC, valued at roughly $130 million. The incident demonstrated that hardware wallets carry risks of their own and are not necessarily safer than centralized cryptocurrency storage services. And I think maybe the point here is to fear people to the authorized repositories, but not necessarily safer than centralized storage. And people trust centralized storage? Really? As vulnerable? $200 million worth. Gone. So wow. But I thought they said it was only a code flaw. So maybe the new AI paradigm is a code feature. Some industry observers remain hopeful, hopium springs eternal, that the transparent nature of the blockchain transactions will make it more difficult for the thieves to convert the stolen assets into cash. Transparent nature, not anonymous or decentralized at all. You reading that? Read between the lines here, right? And consider this next scam only AI nature of the beast enhanced. A new scam is rising. It's about jury duty, of all things. WSJ looks at rise in hoax demanding payments for missing jury duty. It's called the jury duty scam, and the ruse is increasing in frequency, the Wall Street Journal explains, through the ordeals of victims in Florida. Essentially, very convincing scammers posing as law enforcement accuse the victim of missing jury duty and threaten arrests unless, quote, bail, close quote, is paid immediately in cash or cryptocurrency. Now they'll be threatening you with those electrified gloves. In one case, 38-year-old Kimberly Fudge was kept on the phone for nearly 10 hours by at least five scammers who knew her social security number, bank balance, and even details about her parents' law enforcement careers. And after they flock you harder, they'll know more about you than that, won't they? They claim she skipped jury duty, texted her a fake warrant, invoked a supposed gag order to isolate her, tracked her phone activity, likely via spyware on a refurbished device, and marched her through multiple cash deposits. By the time it was over, Fudge had given them $25,000. In the Tampa area, the Pasco County Sheriff's Office says it has gotten 44 complaints about this particular scam so far this year, nearly double the total from last year. Authorities stress a red flag. Real courts and sheriff's offices do not call people to demand payment or threaten arrest over missed jury duty. No, they got much more coercive measures, don't they? The ploy is also only one slice of a much larger problem. The FTC says Americans lost $3.5 billion, bravo, dollars to imposter scams in 2025, almost triple the 2020's total. And the ongoing disclosure of another swindle, Pentagon spent $20.4 million Mike dollars funding dual-use research at German universities. The U.S. Department of War allocated $20.4 million Mike dollars in grants to German universities and research centers doing dual-use technology projects over the past 7 years. Spiegel magazine reported on Sunday, citing U.S. federal budget data. The publication analyzed 57 grants earmarked for research projects across Germany since 2019. The University of Tübingen has been the largest recipient, surpassing the University of Munich. Most of the money goes to research that has both civilian and military application. A project at Ruhr University Bochum is being funded under a program to develop technologies that could, quote, contribute to the improvement of naval operations, close quote. Another project at the University of Lübeck is aimed at, quote, maintaining technological superiority in areas relevant to the needs of the armed forces, close quote. U.S. grants have also been paid to non-university research institutes. The report highlights that U.S. funding for breast cancer research at the German Cancer Research Center falls under a military-driven concept where civilian medical research is justified by its potential benefits on the battlefield. The great Kobe swindle, cancer causing gene therapies come to mind. See, they didn't stop. And someone who is well-known and sounds as if he would be repulsed about this dual-use problem, as well as being an articulate spokesman for seemingly all things immoral and advocating for the America Trump campaigned for, not the one Trump abandoned, Tucker for president? MAGA, MAGA rebels declare independence from Israel. A widening split on the American right is turning Trump's old base into open opposition with Israel at the center of the rupture. Almost since U.S. President Donald Trump started his second and final term, he'll argue with that, the movement that brought him to power twice has been fracturing. Now there is a full break among Make America Great Again or MAGA supporters. It's essential is simple. There are those who continue to identify MAGA with Trump, and on the other side of a widening chasm, those who remain loyal to MAGA but believe that Trump has not. The rebels say Trump has betrayed the cause and want to save MAGA, and thus the U.S., from Trump. There are no official structures yet to what the MAGA dissidents call their movement, but it does have a de facto leader, popular journalist and podcaster host Tucker Carlson. It was at Tucker's All-American Place in Maine that the MAGA schism was made official. There, several key figures of the evolving MAGA against Trump group met and, in effect, raised the standard of rebellion. So, as I've been talking the last few episodes, right to alter or abolish, we're on this theme. That's what I'm really talking about here. And this is a discussion more than anything else. So, any of you said, oh, Tucker Carlson and poo-poo and whatever. That's not what we're talking about here. There's a thing going on in this country, and we need to be watching this very thing and watching what people are thinking and analyzing what they're saying and trying to qualify. Is this real? Can it be real? Will we go far enough? Is it going to need to go further? He raised the standard of rebellion, not literally, but in the shape of an X post by former U.S. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. It featured a carefully composed picture of a merry rebel crew, including, apart from herself, Joe Kent, former counterterrorism czar under Trump, Representative Thomas Massie, a long-term conservative Trump opponent, and Carlson sitting at the head of the table. And just, again, as I read the word czar, they're incorporating the same old language in something. They want to make America great again. The czars need to be sent back to Russia. But they didn't here, did they? In the discussion. Now, this is written by someone who's from Germany as well. So let's take that into consideration. But this is how we start to watch who is saying what and for what reason, and where do we place ourselves within this discussion, if anywhere. Within days after the post, Carlson released a video manifesto with the title, It's Time to Save America, on his own Tucker Carlson Network social media channel. Within one day, it had over 1 million views on YouTube alone. In a rhetorical masterclass for the podcast age, Carlson sketched the American present as a dead end of extraordinary decadence and degradation, a loss of reality among the establishment, and paralysis and looting. He also predicted that the change is inevitable if Americans want to avoid the, quote, end of everything, close quote, either by nuclear war or uncontrolled AI. Those aren't the only threats to bring about the death of an America people aspire to live in again. And is Tucker a change agent then? Because restoration isn't change more than reestablishing the intention of the original. Otherwise, Tucker is suggesting revolution, as he has said was possible. Again, couching his terms to appear the reasonable voice in the room, so to speak. He warned that even preventing this apocalypse by timely political action could produce great violence, that is, a revolution. If this is true, that timely political action, presuming successful political action otherwise timely, is irrelevant, then suggesting successful political action causing revolution plants the future excuse and seed of failure if only restoration is intended. The renewal, as Tariq Amar writes here. And finally, he presented his alternative to both the end of the world and a wild upheaval in 10 concise points, ranging from fairness to unity. His 10 points were more a clarion call for national renewal than a concrete policy outline, with aims general enough to form a broad consensus, as he acknowledged. Much of his 10 points read like MAGA 2.0, that is, without Trump, as observers noted. But so that would be like MAGA 3.0, wouldn't it? On issues such as physical and mental health, the need for the economy to make actually useful things instead of just surveillance tech, weapons of war, and financial gimmicks, the beauty of the American landscape and architecture in need of restoration, Carson's impassioned pleas echoed the conservatism that is one root of the MAGA phenomenon. Ultimately, what will be more important is where these things differ. One of Carlson's points was about sovereignty, or as he defined it, being, quote, free from outside influence, close quote. It is this point that provides the key to all the others. Now, if this is the case, that this it is the key, then the 10 points are not broad enough or not aims general enough to sustain the required foundation. And I guess I got to clarify here, I'm also criticizing Tariq Amir's view here as well, his interpretation what Carlson is doing, as well as Carlson's position, which is from his words. So my criticism is because it's not wide enough to help thwart or protect against those of manufactured subversion. And I don't remember Israeli treasonous influence being much of a consideration when Trump was campaigning. And how could it be, being that undue and overwhelming influence to the exclusion of most other things turns out to be Trump's bread and butter? Being free from domestic, outside, or foreign influence cannot form the sole basis for which MAGA, so-called, stands, sustains, or survives. If it is the sole basis, all the other issues mean very little. If it is the sole basis, it sounds like a deep state op to me, actually. And some of the well-intentioned, impassioned rebel crew participants don't have to know that to be useful. Besides, they've already been used once, haven't they? The 10 points are, in essence, a declaration of independence, not just from an outside influence, but from Israel and its powerful U.S. lobby. Carlson directly named them as forming one of America's worst problems. For starters, he did not simply attack a selfish upper class whose members behave as if they were kings above the laws and ethics. He called it the Epstein class, with reference to the late convicted pedophile, alleged suicide victim, self-declared Rothschild representative, and close associate of alleged Israeli rapists and intelligence. Carson also correctly linked the Iran war, a, quote, strategic disaster, close quote, worse than Vietnam, as another realistic American recently stated, to, quote, bribery and threat of both by Israel, close quote. Equally plausible, he accused Israel of committing genocide, like Nazi Germany, he said, and protested against U.S. continuing support. Finally, the activities of lobbies with that of Israel not alone, but in the lead, quote, gives the lie to the idea of representative democracy, close quote, according to Carlson, because where lobbyists make the decisions, the voters do not. But so do many more things infringe that representation, don't they? That ongoing infringement, though a very big one, is not solely lobbying. In short, Carlson made the point that America's worst military defeat in living memory, its support for and really participation in an ongoing genocide, and its loss of sovereignty and democracy are all due entirely, or in large extent, to the United States' established perverse and deeply unpatriotic relationship to Israel. Politically, this amounts to an arguably long overdue declaration of war against the Zionist state's aggressive influence operations, and the message has gotten through. Haaretz, Israel's liberal paper of record, rapidly dedicated a long opinion piece to Carlson, accusing him of, surprise, surprise, anti-Semitism. This is an absurd smear, but expected. And that expected part is the problem. That it is expected and then used is irrefutable evidence. It is a weapon in a war against the interests of the American people. This weapon is treasonous. And as with bribery or threat, they're not amenable to free speech protections. And being the purpose of such a mischaracterization is to incite violence, while defaming the victim without due process, causing a planned societal strife, while providing cover to a malignant foreign actor or an actor with treasonous sympathies to an adversarial foreign or domestic force, it cannot be tolerated any further. In essence, they're not really calling this out. Systematically misrepresenting criticism of Israel, a genocidal apartheid state, as hatred of Jews is an old, stale Zionistic tactic. Carlson certainly isn't naive. Even in his 10 points, he anticipated being called a Nazi and shrugged it off. But Haaretz does get one thing right. For Carlson and his growing movement, Israel and its American supporters also represent a central source of the MAGA movement's betrayal by Trump. Or, put differently, Carlson represents an American conservatism that has the courage to identify, name, and attack Americans' inane dependence on a tiny yet immensely subversive and violent rogue state. There is, no doubt, much idealization and even nostalgia in Carlson's image of American history and the West, and those wishing to be woke about an arch-conservative will find rich pickings, but that is futile and dull because it is not the point that matters. What matters is the U.S. polls have consistently shown a great, unprecedented groundswell against Israel. A new book on Israel's U.S. lobby is about to come out and is making a massive splash. The tide is turning. fellow MAGA rebel Joe Kent let it slip that Tucker for president is an option. Third parties are difficult propositions. Yet Haaretz, for one, is worried, and from a Zionist point of view, it should be. And that is very good news. But Tucker for president, I'm not so sure. Trumping harder? That raises a supposed clarion call to Americans something much more different. In particular, if this is a turning out to be his movement, as mentioned, he's too connected to the system, apparently to the deep state even so. Instead of president, maybe we'll consider press secretary of the restored America people can only yearn for now in their ever-increasing masses to give us an opportunity to observe any deep state subversion that might have snuck through in this process, like a piece of concentrated evil you're not supposed to touch. Right, Kevin? And Tucker in the limelight week, it seems, though I don't intend to sound too dismissive, the truths are the truths. So let's keep track of those, as I said. This is about starting a discussion, and I think it's a very important one. I think it's needed. But as someone told me about trusting people, in particular the ones here that's where I'm living, that stab me in the back and blame me for that to justify their betrayal and the retaliation to criminal abuse, my picker is broken. I don't know how to pick people, so we got to be more discerning. These matters regarding America require the highest discernment then. But we all have to be wide-eyed when we're looking at this and thinking. U.S. political system is a fraud. Tucker Carlson. The truths are the truths. We got to make sure they're not just covering up something. Americans are played against each other while political leaders fail to represent them, the conservative journalist has told RT. Conservative journalist Tucker Carlson has accused the U.S. political establishment of turning Americans against each other, telling RT that key decisions are made by unelected officials, and the system no longer represents ordinary voters. And it hasn't for a long time. Speaking to Rick Sanchez on Wednesday, Carlson said Americans are, quote, encouraged to hate, close quote, their fellow citizens as Republicans and Democrats are pitted against each other. Quote, the truth is, it's not the difference between us that are the problem, it's the consensus at the top, close quote, Carlson said, accusing the two parties' leaders of, quote, collusion against the American people, close quote, and acting against the interests of their own supporters. Carlson, who backed Donald Trump in the 2024 presidential election, has since distanced himself from the Republican Party amid disagreements over the U.S. war on Iran and Washington's relationship with Israel. In June, he said there was, quote, no chance, close quote, he would support the party in the November midterms while also ruling out backing the Democrats. Carlson has pledged to help establish a third party, describing the current system as a, quote, one-party state posing as a democracy, close quote, and last week presented a 10-point vision for America. He has ruled out a presidential bid for himself, telling Sanchez, quote, I'm not planning to run for president. That's for sure, close quote. Planning? Now? Maybe a little later? Maybe be asked? Who knows? He went on to claim that major decisions in Washington are not made by officials chosen by voters, but, quote, by the permanent bureaucracy, the deep state, close quote. And I'm going to have to say I don't necessarily believe that if we watch some of the compromised Congress critters. They are influenced by the outside, and they make the decision notwithstanding what the voters, their constituents, might want. Carlson described the system as, quote, fraud, close quote, saying Americans are given the illusion that elections offer meaningful political choice. Again, watch the truisms. The truisms or the truths are truths. But what's the underlying use is what we got to be careful of. Will this go into something substantial, substantive, or not? Is it just talk? Is it just to get our ear like Trump did early on with all the pledges that he did that were the aspirations of what America, people think America can be? He said the U.S. therefore needs an alternative, although he acknowledged that he does not know what form it should take. That's probably the most on his statement. We just don't know yet, do we? And we're, that gets way soon. We haven't discussed, we haven't got organized and oriented to what's going on. But an alternative, as Tariq Amar admits, a third party is very difficult. He claimed the U.S. government had been, quote, hijacked, close quote, by people using it, quote, for their own purposes, close quote, describing the underlying problem as a, quote, bad leadership class. But is it really a leadership class? Get the link to Blogcaster. Watch that interview. I appreciated the interview. Both of the interviewer, Sanchez and Carlson, they appear to be very genuine. Again, I believe Tucker Carlson at least creates an excellent springboard to continue the discussion regarding the right to alter and abolish, quote, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness, to provide new guards for their future security. Because the last one only got us this far. And another content link for us to see, the interview here, like I said, there's an interview on this one that's very good. The question I have about this, though, is, well, the title is, Israelis approached me with Hunter Biden's laptop, Tucker Carlson told Rick Sanchez. This is a good interview. I'd like to have people see it. I think, again, we need to see who we're listening to that has the floor, if you will, has the ability to get out to other people. What I found a little bit suspicious in a way, it might have just been the way the dialogue was going. Tucker Carlson never answers if he accepted the laptop info. And he kind of sort of really responds to that is it leaves is that to the imagination, whether that happened. He didn't go any further into it. Apparently, there was this laptop that happened came to him before. I think watching the two men have an interview and dialogue is important. To, again, as I think there was a genuine dialogue going on. Quote, it was the Israelis who were pushing that, Carlson said, referring to the laptop allegations. They called me. And so this is, again, a situation where I'd like to believe, folks, Carlson's all the way on the up and up. And it's all really true. But there's a little connections here, and that they came to him so soon. It wasn't just that they didn't go to any broadcaster. They went to him. And I've got to be careful myself. I don't know about you, but I've got to be careful myself. How is this playing out? I do not think it's an unimportant question, this idea of altering and abolish the system that we have, figuring out what it needs to be done, whether it is just a restoration and how we're going to get there, where it's some part of altering certain things, the steps it may take to get us there, or full-blown rebellion where we have no options and no one's going to fix it but we the people as we're accepting it, written in our own documents here in the United States of America. U.S. journalist Tucker Carlson has said that the people linked to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who approached him with the material from Hunter Biden's laptop ahead of a 2020 U.S. presidential election. The laptop belonging to the son of the then president candidate Joe Biden became the focus of a major controversy weeks before the vote after the New York Post published the material from it pointing to alleged influence peddling involving the Biden family. The story was widely questioned by U.S. media at the time, while dozens of the former intelligence officials suggested it bore the hallmarks of a Russian information operation. Speaking to RT's Rick Sanchez on Wednesday, Carlson recalled that he was working at Fox News at the time and said he sent one of his producers to meet a person connected with Netanyahu. People connected to Netanyahu came to us, he said, adding that he claimed to have information from Hunter Biden's laptop. It was the Israelis who were pushing that, Carlson said, referring to laptop allegations. They called me. Carlson said he believed the material from the laptop had been circulating before the device was reportedly left at the Delaware computer repair shop and suggested that somebody had obtained it from the cloud storage. Now, that's what his belief is. There are a set of facts that would say that it may have very well come from that. Neither here nor there, except that how do we then know about the truth here? Well, we're watching someone who now becomes the focal point and the promoted celebrity this last week to talk about things like altering and abolish the United States government for all the corruption in it. And then they constrain it down to two things, which I don't see as, they're important, no doubt, but they're not everything. And we got to be very careful if we're going to go down this road of thinking what's needed, of thinking all that's needed, whether we can do all of it is not the question. We got to figure out what it all is so we can start a plan, and then we can jump in where we can at this point and hope there's those that will follow us if we are going to try something. Maybe not. Well, if it goes to revolution, it really doesn't matter, does it? We've kind of lost the whole program, and we're going to have to decide whether or not we're better than Lincoln was, and we're going to get our country back. Carlson went on to suggest that St. Yehu did not want Joe Biden to win the 2020 election, pointing to Israel's leader's close relationship with Donald Trump. He characterized the episode as Israeli interference in U.S. politics. Thereafter, CNN published an analysis titled The Anatomy of the New York Post's Dubious Hunter Biden Story. Talking heads and hosts frequently asked if Donald Trump was spreading, quote, Russian disinformation by bringing up the scandal during the presidential debates. Politico published a breaking story of the letters from 2051 intelligence officers running the headlines, The Hunter Biden Story is a Russian Disinfo, dozens of former intel officials say. The authenticity of significant amounts of data from the laptop was subsequently confirmed by major U.S. news organizations, including NYT and WAPO, reversing their initial dismissive stances, and it was found that the Russians had nothing to do with it, right? So we get back to the heavy influencer and what drives Tucker Carlson about Israel. I'm not here to argue with him on that, if that's what it is. What I'm saying is it's not the sole thing that we have to be concerned about. And then again, we have the question of a third political party, and we have to vote harder in a system that's corrupted. I think we got some more pieces to fix first, don't we? If we can, then that's the other question, isn't it? U.S. and Israel agree to remove nuclear material from secret Syrian site. According to the publication, the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, will be given access to the area labeled Site 99 to recover material described as remnants from Syria's Al-Kabar reactor, which Israel bombed in 2007. So they don't have any qualms about bombing nuclear sites, do they? But why does the title say U.S. and Israel agree to remove nuclear material from a secret Syrian site if the International Atomic Energy Agency has been given access to the area labeled Site 99 to recover material? Unless the International Atomic Energy Agency is an agent of the U.S.-Israel military complex, and that this duplicitous relationship was used to deceive Iran, and Iran is right to end its relationship with an instrumentality of Israel and the U.S. The site reportedly contains yellow cake, a concentrated uranium powder that can eventually be processed into nuclear fuel. Why is Israel entitled to any of it? Why is Israel involved at all? If the IAEA acquires the yellow cake, why would it allow Israel anywhere near it when Israel doesn't agree to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty? Who is the president of Syria, former ISIS terrorist leader al-Jolani, to allow such a deception? How could Israel be involved with the negotiation that isn't a violation of U.S. law? Any response to these non-questions, CIA Mossad? Any at all? Well, the material cannot be used directly to make a nuclear bomb. It could potentially be dispersed using conventional explosive, causing radiological contamination in what is commonly known as a dirty bomb, which Israel made when they blew the place up. Israel reportedly bombed the entrances to the site shortly after the coalition U.S.-backed rebel groups captured Damascus in December 2024, toppling Syria's longtime president Bashar Assad, who they have now convicted in absentia as well, just this list last week as well. An Israeli official told Axios that Israel had threatened to bomb the site again if the nuclear material was not removed or if there were signs that Syria was attempting to access it. The Syrian president Ahmed al-Shara, a former jihadist commander who was once on the U.S. wanted list, that's Jolani, has sought to improve the country's relations with the West and attract foreign aid to Syria, which has been ravaged by civil war since 2011. That wasn't a civil war, folks. Last month, he revealed that he was working on a security agreement with Israel, which has occupied parts of southwestern Syria since 2024, expanding its presence beyond the Golan Heights which it has held since 1967. Al-Sharaa's government has also sought to normalize relations with Russia, which militarily supported Assad. Earlier this month, Moscow and Damascus agreed to reorganize Russia's Kamenin air base and naval facility in Tartus into joint training centers. The deal allows Russia to maintain a military presence in Syria following Assad's fall. And Assad is moved to Russia. Russia took him to Russia, and that's where he's been at. That's why he was tried in absentia. Israel rejects 15-point Bordeaux peace plan for Gaza, says Netanyahu. Israel rejects the 15-point plan for the Gaza Strip proposed by the Bordeaux peace and refuses to withdraw troops from the enclave until Palestinian movement Hamas is fully disarmed, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said on Sunday. Quote, Israel rejects the 15-point document. The Israel Defense Forces will not withdraw until Hamas disarmed. And when I speak of Hamas disarmament, I mean heavy weapons, lighter weapons, all weapons. And we're talking about real disarmament, not a fictitious one, he said at a televised government meeting. The Israeli Prime Minister's office conveyed its objection to the United States in late July regarding the 15-point plan for resolving the conflict in the Gaza Strip. Quote, we are currently discussing the issue with the Americans. They have their own ideas, some of which are acceptable to us, and some of it are not, and we know how to defend our position on such matters. We have proven this in the past, and we are proving it today, close quote, Netanyahu said. On October 9, 2025, Israel and Hamas, with the mediation of Egypt, Qatar, United States, and Turkey, agreed to implement the first phase of the peace plan presented by U.S. President Donald Trump. The following day, a ceasefire went into effect in Gaza. No, it didn't. In accordance with the agreement, which doesn't really exist if they're not stopping, Israeli troops withdrew to the so-called Yellow Line, retaining control of over 50% of the Strip's territory. Israel is an illegal belligerent occupier that has no right to attack, no right of defense, and no right to demand a thing at all. Proving once again, President Trump, whether President of the United States, or president of the Bordeaux Pretense Resort Casino and Kushner Water Theme Park from river to the sea, is weak and complicit in genocide. So the tough guy in chief has to appear relevant. Trump demands a compensation from Iran now, as talks on Strait of Hormuz continue. United States President Donald Trump has demanded a compensation from Iran for those he claimed were killed by the country after Tehran conditioned the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz on receiving war reparations from Washington. Trump told reporters at the White House on Monday that his administration was going to seek payments for, quote, 50 years, close quote, of damages caused by Iran, framing the move as a direct response to Tehran's claims. Tehran has said it will not open the Strait of Hormuz, through which about a fifth of the global oil and liquefied natural gas flowed before the U.S.-Israel war on Iran, unless Washington agrees to pay war reparations and end sanctions. The Iranian demands were largely in line with the terms of an interim peace agreement signed in June, which has since broken down over a dispute on control over the strait. So Iran's still following it, even though it's all broke down. Talks between Iran and Oman over the waterway, which separates the two countries, are ongoing, but Trump's new demands risk complicating efforts to reopen the maritime passage. Quote, they asked for reparations, you might say, or they asked for money for the damage that we've done. I said, that's a good idea, close quote, he told reporters. Well, we're going to ask for money for the damage they've done over a 50-year period. So this is not an original thought, the shyster, because they have no strategy, so much so that the Pentagon is dredging for suggestions, asking for responses that are someone else's idea, because they have no strategy, so much so that the Pentagon is dredging for suggestions, thinks that someone else's idea told to him by a loser loyalist is good for him to use. The payments would cover deaths among U.S. forces in the region as well as civilian protesters in Iran, he said, claiming that 52,000 people have been killed in Iran in the past 4 months. Now, whatever that number, it was reported those people were incited into riot and provided weapons by Israeli operatives. In a different report, it said that Trump referenced that Iran should pay for the harms caused by IS and Al-Qaeda. And that was more properly spelled IS US and Al-CIA, duh, being that they have been the tools of a CIA Mossad for Israel and the U.S. And Trump continued to steal the oil from Syria while Trump supported IS US, CIA Mossad terrorists, that runs the place right now. But Iran is supposed to pay for what the United States and Israel causes. Is that what I'm supposed to understand here? Tehran says that 3,170 people died in anti-government protests that swept the country in January prior to the launch of the U.S.-Israeli war. The U.S.-based human rights activist news agency, HRANA, in February reported about 7,000 deaths, including 6,500 protesters. But the U.S.-based human rights activist news agency lied by omission to inform people that Israel was behind the uprising planned to cause the regime change Israel incessantly seeks. And it's just ultimately banter then. Trump also said that Tehran should compensate families as the 17 U.S. soldiers killed in an October 2000 attack in Yemen on the USS Cole naval vessel, which has been blamed on Al-CIA, duh. Not Iran. Quote, also, with respect to the Iran negotiations, Iran should be responsible for damages and death caused by the people of Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, and Gaza. Close quote. He wrote in Truth Social. Since the U.S.-Israel war on Iran began on February 28, Trump has repeatedly oscillated between threats of escalation and claims that a peace deal is imminent because that Taco Tuesday Who by Friday oscillation is good for his billionaire boy's bottom line. The banter-in-chief threatened last week to hit Iran very hard, only to pull back on Taco Weekday, hinting a peace deal was near. And the markets moved to the billionaire boy's screeches of profiteering ecstasy. This weekend, he said, he was low-keying his approach to the conflict, suggesting that he was prepared to let economic pressure mount in place of further military strikes. Charles Kupchan, a former special assistant to ex-U.S. President Barack Obama, said, quote, unfortunately, we are just looking at some back-and-forth banter here where neither the Iranians nor the Trump administration is being serious, close quote, he told Al Jazeera. Quote, Iran cannot survive if it won't be able to export its oil, close quote, he said, and Trump doesn't want to go into the U.S. midterms with high gas prices. And listen close to this. I'm hearing now more and more administration people. That's the theme. I think J.D. Vance just came out and said the same thing. We want to make sure the gas prices are low. They want to convince the American voting public that Trump's doing okay. There is also pressure on the Pentagon in light of reports of U.S. munition stockpiles are low, he added. Iran-Iman talks on Hormuz. Iran earlier said it was nearing a final pact with Oman, defining new shipping lanes between them through the Strait of Hormuz, but repeated that the U.S. must meet its conditions, including an end to military threats. The strait has been effectively blocked since the war began, pushing up oil prices, and down, and up, and down, and up again, and inflation. Iranian Foreign Minister spokesman Ismail Baghaei told state media Monday that talks with Oman were, quote, progressing smoothly and constructively, close quote, with an agreement reached on a shipping route map, while some technical issues remain unresolved. Baghaei said that the discussion also covered services that would normally involve payments, such as safe navigation, environmental protection, maritime services and combating crime, and there's just been reported Iran's shores are now receiving crude oil from a collision of some ships out there, which I found a little bit interesting because all the bombing and drone attacks going on, you'd have thought it was from that source. No, two ships collided. So Iran's receiving the brunt of a collision in terms of the crude oil on their beaches. Now I'm wondering how the United States military is going to land. He added that the U.S., I guess you give lots of Dawn, you know, Dawn detergent, that's right. It works for birds, doesn't it? He added the United States' continued, quote, hostile actions, close quote, in the Strait of Hormuz have made the passageway unsafe and that the Tehran considers Washington's naval blockade of Iran ports an, quote, act of aggression, close quote. That's right. unwarranted acts of aggression that the Trumpster fire, the aggressor in chief, has become for Israel, and to distract from the Epstein files withholding crime, that it's a good idea to demand reparations from people defending themselves from being murdered and maimed by him, the United States government, and a rabid Israel. Is not a stable man nor in control of anything but the yes-kissers, loser lackeys he surrounds himself with to make him feel good. Remember? Like a thief, robber, bandit, or pirate on the high seas claiming the victor goes to the spoils, Trump says, it's a good idea that you have to pay me too for defending your castle from my unwarranted acts of aggression and those of my surveillance-savvy nuclear-armed Zionist hitmen. And you also get to pay for all the harm we have caused for the last 50 years to your neighbors and the rest of the world because you dare to continue to exist in the face of my authorita. Because that sounds like a good idea and much better than having to admit I'm a dumb as a post arrogant loser like those around me that can't formulate a lawful viable thought of our own, let alone a lawful principled moral plan or strategy. But my bandit banter is pretty good, ain't it? Yes, kissers? This is BTWRLM 681. Crude ambitions. Has the United States started the annexation of Greenland? Trump-linked oil company has shown up on the Danish territory without an invitation. An American oil company backed by powerful associates of U.S. President Donald Trump has shipped drilling equipment to Greenland without permission from the Danish territory's government. Is Trump trying to annex Greenland one bite at a time? Less than 2 weeks ago, a Danish tugboat towed a cargo ship into port at Nørreret Inlet, 450 kilometers above the Arctic Circle on Greenland's east coast. The cargo ship, operated by a company called Permagreen, unloaded an excavator and 15 containers of equipment before leaving the following day, according to Danwatch, a Danish investigative journalism outlet. A Permagreen spokesman told Danwatch that the company was hired by the Texas-based Greenland Energy Company to deliver, quote, some machinery and equipment that will be support their oil exploration, close quote, in the region of Jameson Land. The Greenland Energy Company had no permission to deliver the equipment, Greenland's energy minister said in a press release, adding that the company has still not granted the necessary permits to drill in Jameson Land, a wetland area protected by International Ramsar Convention. Is the Greenland Energy Company allowed to drill? Despite the lack of approval by Greenland itself, the Greenland Energy Company is treating drilling as a foregone conclusion. The company posted a series of updates on social media as Permagreen's tugboat left Denmark and docked in Greenland's capital city, Nuuk. Oilfield machinery company Stampede Drilling posted a picture of a drilling rig bearing Greenland Energy's logo, declaring it was Greenland bound. The company has claimed that another ship carrying 300 containers of drilling equipment is ready to set sail from Kanukistan to Greenland on September 12. Exploratory drilling will begin in October. However, Greenland stopped issuing new oil drilling licenses in 2021. No significant deposit has been found in the preceding 50 years, and the government in Nuuk concluded that environmental impact was not worth the meager returns. A handful of licenses remain active, including one covering Jameson Land and held by a UK-based company called 80 Mile. Greenland Energy has said that it will fund exploration on 80 Mile's land in exchange for 70% of revenue generated by the project. Despite operating under 80 Mile's license, Greenland Energy must still obtain the necessary permits. Quote, the project is still in the exploration phase, close quote, Greenland's energy minister stated in a press release in early August. Even if the permits are granted with no delays, no drilling will take place this year, a ministry spokesman told Danwatch. And remember, Trump said this last year, Trump says he respects Greenland, Denmark, but only U.S. can defend Ireland. I have tremendous respect for both the people of Greenland and the people of Denmark, but every NATO ally has an obligation to be able to defend their own territory. And the fact is, no nation or group of nations is in any position to be able to secure Greenland other than the United States. Trump said in an address in the World Economic Forum. The United States stupidly gave back Greenland to Denmark after the end of Second World War, Trump said, adding that the Danish authorities are now being ungrateful to Washington. And this guy should know about acting stupidly. Remember, his statement that only U.S. can defend Ireland is not a statement of power projection, but one of obligation as duty to Denmark. And I discussed this on a long past episode. The Treaty of the Danish West Indies, officially the convention between the United States and Denmark for cession of the Danish West Indies, was a 1916 treaty transferring sovereignty of the Danish West Indies from Denmark to the United States in exchange for a sum of $25 million in gold, an agreement to cede U.S. interest in Greenland, which at the time of the transfer was deemed a very important national security matter of strategic importance and relative to the threat of German occupation and proximity to America. And the Panama Canal had also recently been built. So stupidly, I'm not so sure. He has hindsight today. Is Trump saying having Hitler as a neighbor was preferable? The Dutch West Indies is what we know today as the U.S. Virgin Islands. Is Epstein Isle Denial Derangement Syndrome much? Then there was the 1951 U.S.-Denmark Defense Agreement for Greenland, which also covers U.S. defense's responsibilities in the North Atlantic, including the U.S. Virgin Islands, by uniting efforts for collective defense under NATO. The U.S. is permitted to establish and operate defense areas in Greenland. The defense agreement framework ensures that both the U.S. and Denmark are committed to mutual defense and security in the region. The U.S. is responsible for certain defense areas in Greenland, which enhances the security of the region. So, yes, the U.S. is the only one that can defend, but it's obligated to. That doesn't give Trump or Permagreen or Greenland Energy Company any right to impose any more or any further. But doing so isn't the respect for both the people in Greenland and the people of Denmark that Trump is saying. And to bring this around a bit, regarding Marjorie Taylor Greene and Trump and Greenland, despite all her apparent denunciation of Trump's stated plans for Greenland, she'd be fine with doing what Trump wants to do with Greenland. If Social Security was fixed, or the U.S. debt didn't have $40 trillion in debt, or if it doesn't cost anything because of the offset caused by stealing the mineral wealth of foreign people in a foreign land, is the same mindset. And she's one of the people sitting with Tucker Carlson, the Merry Rebel crew, as they speak of alternatives, a third political party, or revolution. Doesn't sound like any serious change in principles to me, nor does it sound like a way forward. Everything we hear them say that is true can't be denied, but using all the truth to again wrap around the eventual same old thing, and Tucker admitting he doesn't know the way forward, honest as that is, certainly cannot be any leadership better than the bad leadership class we suffer today. As this pirate-in-chief just goes around the world, Venezuela oil boom under Trump collapses, per Wall Street Journal. 7 months after President Trump hosted major oil companies at the White House and sought roughly $100 billion in new investments, Venezuela still has only 2 active rigs. The same number as a year earlier. So much for making things great again, right? And then this observation in time with this other stuff. Trump isn't running an administration. He's running a mafia operation. Let me explain. Billions made from selling Venezuela's stolen oil, and it's all missing. Banks are shutting down his bank accounts for suspected money laundering. Has a $1 trillion tango dollar war budget, but runs out of missiles. His entire family is making billions from insider trading. Truth Social now lets you pay to insider trade for $100,000 per month. Record pardons for financial crimes. This may be the most corrupt presidency in history. And those last two posts make this next report particularly interesting. Capital One says it closed Trump Organization accounts after anti-money laundering probe. Capital One Financial hit back on Friday against a lawsuit over its decision to close the Trump Organization bank accounts years ago, stating that it did so after a review by anti-money laundering experts. The disclosure marks the first time a bank has formally tied money laundering concerns to U.S. President Trump's family business. Capital One is seeking to dismiss the case by casting doubt on claims of illegally debanking or denying services on religious or political grounds the Trump Organization. The Trump Organization and Capital One did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Capital One has never accused the Trump Organization of illegal money laundering, but Friday's filing argues that, quote, documents and plaintiff's own allegations make clear that Capital One closed plaintiff's accounts for anti-money laundering AML reasons. The closures were the result of months of analysis and careful review by Capital One's AML team in accordance with bank policies and regulatory guidance, close quote. Capital One gave notice of its plans to close more than 300 Trump-affiliated bank accounts in March 2021. The Trump's organization and Eric Trump, the president's son, filed a lawsuit in March 2025 in a Florida federal court alleging the accounts were closed because of Capital One's woke beliefs and its desire to benefit from the political mood after the January 6, 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol. Misguided allegations, Capital One. The federal court in Miami has tossed two complaints in the Capital One case, but gave the plaintiffs opportunity each time to submit an amended complaint. Capital One said that the latest version filed in July, quote, suffers from the same fundamental flaws as their prior two pleadings, close quote. Capital One said in the Friday filing that the Trump Organization's allegations of political pretext were misguided and based upon cherry-picked quotations unsupported by the full context, close quote, of documents submitted to the court. Quote, the transaction patterns identified by Capital One are among the types of activity flagged by federal banking guidance, close quote, the filing said. Since the start of Trump's second term, his administration has put pressure on some large banks, echoing conservative complaints that the institutions are deliberately targeting the political right. Trump signed an executive order in August 2025 barring discrimination debanking, and in January, Trump filed a suit against J.P. Morgan Chase on the same grounds, underscoring the fraught policy environment Wall Street is navigating during the president's second term. In 2019, during his second term, Trump sued Capital One and Deutsche Bank in an attempt to prevent them from sharing financial records with Congress as part of a probe led by Democratic lawmakers. Anti-money laundering professionals at Deutsche Bank reportedly flagged a set of transactions, but executives ignored them. Deutsche Bank denied the report at the time. And no one can see the structure fire behind all the smoke, apparently. And it must be an open secret that Trump will cook the books. U.S. senators moved to stop Trump administration from hiding Iran war casualties. A group of 18 U.S. senators introduced Honoring the Sacrifice of Troops in War Act of 2026 to prevent the Pentagon from manipulating casualty records and benefits during U.S. military operations. The bill states that no administrative reclassification should be allowed to, quote, obscure the human cost of war, close quote, and that no reporting category can be used to conceal casualties from Congress or the American people. Now, Reba, manipulating casualty records. It sounds like Ukraine, where they don't allow their POWs or their dead to come back so that they don't have to pay their benefits to the widows of their soldiers. If they're not found or missing in action, they don't have to pay. The move comes after lawmakers accused the Trump administration of trying to hide the true cost of the U.S. war against Iran by recategorizing casualties outside Operation Epic FUBAR. The bill would bar the Secretary of Defense from renaming or reclassifying an ongoing operation against the same enemy, including during a ceasefire negotiation or a change in operational phase. And I hope the bill doesn't say that, because we don't have a Secretary of Defense, do we? It would also require the Pentagon to restore casualty records modified since February 28, 2026 and notify next of kin about the correction. But Trump launched an illegal war against Iran, and now senators say this administration is trying to make the cost look smaller on paper. Just one more disrespect and disgrace after another with old Nick Gear. And speaking of the Butler event and old Nick Gear, Iran gonna done it. Israel's unverified Iran kill plot, warning behind Trump's secret jet switch in Turkey. U.S. President Donald Trump secretly switched planes while leaving Turkey last month after Israel again warned American intelligence of an alleged Iranian threat. They wouldn't lie to us, would they? Israel doesn't lie. The most moral country, most moral democracy, most moral army. They don't lie, do they? Israel had warned. Remember, Butler event. Before, the week before. Iran gonna done it. Israel had warned U.S. officials that there was a possible threat of Iranian missiles toward Air Force One, prompting the Secret Service to secretly move Trump to a smaller military jet as he flew out of last month's NATO summit in Turkey. It emerged that Trump took a secret military flight from Turkey to flee an Iranian association threat based on Israeli intelligence. The extraordinary operation involved the U.S. president being moved between aircraft smuggled in a catering truck to safely leave the NATO summit in Ankara for Britain. The ruse was carried out as journalists and some White House staff members were led to believe they were on the same plane as the president as he began his journey back to Washington. The Israeli influence. Despite reasonable doubts over Israeli intelligence, the Secret Service orchestrated the elaborate plane switch plan in Ankara out of abundance of caution. Some U.S. intelligence officials pointed out that Tel Aviv's kill plot warning was designed less to inform the U.S. about the threat and more to influence Trump decision-making and U.S. policy in the region. Butler sound familiar here, folks? Old Nick Deere? The WWE event on top of that, possibly? It was reported that the CIA had low confidence in Trump assassination plot claims, that CIA analysts were highly skeptical of intelligence of an imminent assassination plot and conveyed that position to the administration. That seems highly unusual. Why would the CIA come out with this also? They'd be back behind the scenes. Reports about the threat were, quote, Israeli-derived, not U.S.-generated, and viewed as low confidence. So I guess the Secret Service didn't get the memo that Mossad knew their own assassination story was incredible. Tail wagged the dog much? I think we know that it do. And the press secretary, Leavitt, was so thrilled to be the potential fodder for Israel being left on Air Force One, that Carol Leavitt is leaving. She's leaving it. Leaving the White House. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt is exiting the podium at month's end. Quote, the truth is, since returning to the White House after the birth of my daughter, I have felt in my heart that I cannot be the best mom my two young children deserve while devoting the constant time, energy, and attention required of the White House Press Secretary. Yeah, especially if Israel were to have blown up Air Force One just for effect. And Iran's response to Israel fabrication of an Iranian assassination of Trump? Foreign Minister Araghchi said, Trump is destroying the United States. We don't need to eliminate him. In other words, we will never interfere with an enemy in the process of destroying himself. Right, Napoleon? And the latest from the Department of Anthropomorphic Global Warming Mitigation, France arrests 420 people over suspected role in wildfires during a severe summer fire season, with 166 miners among those arrested. No, not diggers of the dirt, just young folk. As investigators examined cases ranging from suspected deliberate arson to negligence that resulted in forest fires. The arrests do not in themselves establish criminal responsibility. The cases cover both people suspected of intentionally starting fires and those accused of causing them accidentally. But climate change, don't you know? The figures illustrate the scale of the law enforcement response accompanying France's efforts to contain a fire season that has caused extensive damage, particularly in the southwest. Okay, now do Kanukistan. French authorities have increasingly focused on the human causes of fires as well as the weather conditions to allow them to spread. Increasingly is a dangerous sign because we're so bought into climate change fraud, we couldn't conceive it was actually man-made matches and sparks that we needed to investigate. We do so reluctantly now and have increasingly focused on the human causes of fires, to our chagrin, because we can be too SMART to be a cop. Earlier figures released by the authorities showed that more than 14,000 fire outbreaks had been recorded during the season. French officials have said the human activity is responsible for the overwhelmingly majority of forest fires, although this category includes accidents and negligence, as well as deliberate arson. Color me shocked. Who'd have thunk it? Climate change has legs, arms, and criminal intent, if not accidentally or by incendiary negligence, and causes wildfire. And all these years we were told, trust the science, climate change done it. And there was nothing to do but to tax you more for our let it burn policy through fire management to burn all summer to smoke you out because of our bad forest management practices. Prosecutors have also pursued cases involving activities such as lighting fires, smoking, or using fireworks close to woodland during periods of extreme fire danger. In the Bordeaux area, judicial authorities have used fast-track procedures in some cases as part of the efforts to deter behavior capable of triggering further fires. The 420 arrests, meanwhile, show that the response is extending beyond firefighting itself. Okay, but still, climate change causes wildfires, don't you know? Right, Greta? And on through the Great Reset, on through the Sustainable Development, on through the climate change, the political climate, you know. India expands the test of digital rupee. New Delhi has extended the pilot scheme of a central bank digital currency to two more federally administered territories. India has expanded a pilot scheme that uses central bank digital currency to transfer welfare payments to the two federally administered territories as it races ahead with testing the digital rupee among a wider audience. The digital rupee for direct benefit transfer initiative has launched in the union territories of Chandigarh and Dadra and Nagar Haveli on Friday. It aims to cut out middlemen from the government-run beneficiary streams, leveraging the digital rupee's traceability and transparency. Traceability to you, and you can't hide anywhere. Those receiving the digital money in their wallets can purchase food grains from recognized merchants through a secure, traceable, and real-time digital payment mechanism, eliminating the leakages and corruption that have long bedeviled welfare schemes in the country. The proof of concept pilot was earlier rolled out in the federally administered Puducherry and Prime Minister Narendra Modi's home state of Gujarat. The Reserve Bank of India rolled out the digital rupee in 2022, including a retail pilot. A retail pilot, always commerce-related, not private, whichever you might want to do, always retail. But there's more. The RBI governor said on Tuesday that all BRICS, or BRICS nations, are discussing linking their payment systems and CBDCs as they explore ways to reduce the costs and increase the speed of cross-border payments. BRICS members, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, have already implemented pilot rollouts of CBDCs. And that would be a BRIC member, right? BRICS includes South Africa, which, though the central bank continues to participate in cross-border CBDC initiatives, including the Project Dunbar with the BIS and other central banks, has yet to get up to speed and the find out, because they're like a financial elitist, it believes it wants to hold it some kind of standard. So this is another BRIC in the ever building Siberian gulag wall at this point. The globalistas on the march, and people still think this little international so-called multipolar currency kerfuffle is real without a bigger Mr. Global financial system endgame. And looking at the difference between a fiat and real, what's going on? Shenanigans. Venezuela wants to reclaim 4 billion Bravo dollars in gold reserves from the Bank of England. You think with its new realignment with Israel since the lawless abduction of Maduro, the first tanker full of stolen crude going to Israel, that the Israel-creating Rothschilds or affiliates aren't poised to get their grubby paws, their slimy tentacles on that gold and leave the Venezuelan people holding a moldy bag of debt instruments, just maybe? The government and the opposition reportedly said in a joint statement that they were working, quote, to recover Venezuela's international reserve assets held in the Bank of England, close quote. The funds will be used for reconstruction after recent earthquakes. With the gold on reserve, they could get a disaster loan and not touch the reserve, couldn't they? As well for the recovery of the consequences of U.S. sanctions, the report said. Oh, that's a good self-inflicted wound excuse. I thought they were supposed to be liberated from the tyrant drug king and prospering under Trump's boot. Since 2018, the United Kingdom has refused to recognize the Venezuelan government, blocking its access to 31 tons of gold stored in the vaults of the Bank of England. That's like Rothschilds too, isn't it? That's like the BIS? It's like there's some gold laundering going to happen here. The Bank of England is reportedly awaiting legal clarity on who will control the gold reserves once they are returned to Venezuela. An unnamed opposition figure told the paper that the Venezuelan authorities and the opposition, so Venezuela has a uniparty too, and the opposition were working on the, quote, transparency mechanism, close quote, to prevent the gold from being misappropriated. So their uniparty, like right here at home, the organized crime money laundering syndicate, is working on mechanisms to make the theft of the gold invisible, transparent to everyone. Well, that'd be about right. I'd normally be opposed to the bank keeping that gold, but like I reported on this a long while back, I said 2018 or something, they said, I would oppose that the bank keep that gold, but as long as the Zionist pirates exist and run free, not relegated to a small rock outcropping in the South China Sea, maybe awaiting legal clarity on who will control the gold reserves once they are returned to Venezuela is the right answer for now. What do you think? Leave a message in the comments or the chats. RealLibertyMedia.com or wherever you find us. RLMRadio.xyz. And give us a donation, if you will. Even a coffee. Keep the crew going. I hope you've been listening to the Sunos, the tag theme episode for the broadcast. They bring on another nuance to what I present here. We put those together. The tag themes are what you'll find on the blogcaster put into songs that Sound puts together for me, and then we go through and check which one turned out well enough to present to you. I think some of them turned out pretty cool. I think pretty neat. Interesting. I have a big smile on my face to watch a machine do that. Pretty neat to see that come about. I know that it pushes a bunch of buttons up for people, but for what our purpose is here, just to bring a little bit more content, a little different way to present things, I think it's a pretty good tool. Notice lots of questions, problems in it. You know, some things don't quite work out, but we're not there to do that part, make it perfect. We're there just to make another thing to listen for and listen to and be presented in a way that may strike you to consider differently or more, or confirm what you know, or cause you to think and maybe want to go question even more so what's going on in the world. It's partly what I try to do behind the woodshed. We read this Newstice. It's giving us a notice of something. Are we going to notice? And then are we going to then act? and it's maybe not so easy to decide to do that. Again, I don't necessarily believe the Rebel Crew Tucker movement is necessarily something that we want to just follow, certainly not follow blindly, but not just follow. I think it's a start, though, of a conversation. And I've started to have that conversation before that became news, if you'll notice. Somehow, I tell you, blessed to change my tack to come over and do this. Whether or not we ever do anything, I don't know. I have a serious concern about the intelligence of people anymore. And that's a serious thing. I'm not insulting anybody that isn't in the know about this stuff. The great Kobe swindle, I think, was planned to limit our cognitive abilities. It's now being reported that 80% of the population of the world is cognitively damaged. I talked about it then. This is not a joke. This is not me pointing us out and saying, oh, we're bad people, you're no good. No, we have some serious problems. And they're trying to bring it on again. And now they brought on the newest one with the new names. And it's all the same old bioweapon. And as I've talked before, people like Rand Paul ask the wrong questions. They set up the wrong situations. And it was more than one person. We talked about last episode. You're going after Fauci by himself, you're not interested in accountability. And that might be the root part of what the Tucker movement is about. Again, I don't want to diminish that because it's important. I think he's genuine in what he talks. I think we're in Rick Sanchez interview. Rick Sanchez sounds genuine. And so we'll take that. But are we thinking comprehensive enough and then looking and analyzing that situation to see, okay, well, this is a big, giant elephant to eat, if you're going to eat elephants, but we got to take it a little bite at a time. So what parts are we going to take and what are we going to do? How are we going to prepare to do that and then effectuate it? It's up for us to decide. I don't see the conversation yet. Tucker Carlson brings that. That's why I brought those three articles for you to read and an interview to watch. I want you to do that, even just to bring yourself abreast to what the condition really is sitting here. That Trump, I said before, Trump could have been that guy. He has the capacity to do it, and yet he didn't. And he turned on us. Or he didn't, and it was all a ruse. They talk about MAGA. That was just a slogan. It's just a campaign slogan. It had no more meaning than that in my mind. People, again, put their aspirations into that. Any serious study of America would be hard-pressed to find when it was great. Because you have a problem of what great in relation to who, what, where, and when, or any of that. I'm not so sure after my studies it was great. The founding issue of the action of people to alter and abolish the prior oppression was probably the genius. Again, that got us here, and we're talking about it again. It's a work in progress. They did call it an experiment, didn't they? And such is the day. And so there's a whole lot going on. I don't know that anybody's going to have the actual, real, any one answer. Maybe his list was a good 10 points. I'm not so sure we want to focus on Israel, but we cannot disregard Israel. Israel is a major problem. Its influence is a major problem. But look at the mechanisms that allowed it, despite what our so-called founding fathers had put in place. We the people didn't keep the republic, didn't insist. And so I'm encouraged. We got the Epstein files, people want to see that. We're going up against the AI, we're going up against the data centers, we're going up against the flock view cameras, and that's very encouraging to see people getting motivated. I still see an underlying ignorance as what they're after and what they want to do. They're after the surface of it. Understand, this stuff just popped up. It didn't just pop up from nowhere. And you see how fast it pops up. You see all the energy it now takes. It takes an immense amount of energy pushing back, and that's starting to happen. Even after the fact, I was hearing Sam send me a piece of information where places like Texas, the attorney general stepped up, said, no, these are way beyond, you're using way more things and causing way more issues than your side should offer in a place like Texas. And we're going to shut you down and we're going to analyze this. So that's a model you might try to find. I know it's starting to pop up in other states. I'm not so sure about Hochul over there in New York because it's a very temporary suspension. This has to be much more permanent, But you see, people can start causing change. It doesn't take everybody, but it does take you, my listener. It does. It takes the one that starts taking the action, and then in sufficient numbers. And I'm encouraged also, another video, I think it was a video I saw, that the observation of people looking on to the presenters has been very, very good. The people that are presenting to the boards, whether they are good or not, they are voicing their opinion. These people that come up in the meetings to say their piece are very well organized and very articulate. And I'm very pleased for them and for us that people do that. Exactly what I've been advocating all these years. Know your game, know your stuff, know what they're up against, and then concisely bring it forward, and then watch and tend to it. Make sure you make it over to reallibertymedia.com and look for the donation buttons. Look for the content. You can just look for the content. It's all sitting there for you to have, but we need to have people donating to pay for the equipment to provide it to others and to keep it going. I'd ask you again to do that. And the end of the songs of the Suno for the tag themes that Sam put together, we asked the donations, and I think it's some of them were pretty fun at the end, how they represent the crew needing their coffee. That may not be actually literal, but yes, it does come in, and there is a lot of support that needs to happen, and I appreciate all those that have and do and consider it. Don't wait too long. Not that it's dire. I think Sound has this pretty well stabilized for a while now. It wasn't stabilized at all. It has a little bit of time going, but the equipment keeps breaking down slowly as we keep moving, and the demands are great as we move on. More and more costs come to our recurring costs, just to run the servers, just to run the data spaces that are having to be purchased, the domains that need to be maintained. All that comes with the territory of the internet. So appreciate anything you can do. And any content providers, again, contact Sound Minds, get a place on the schedule, or do a publication. That's what Vince easily does. He jumps on and does a publication. Doesn't do a broadcast quite yet, or anymore. I don't know. I haven't talked with him for quite a while. But he's a content provider, and it's all in publishing, writing. You can, too. This has been BTW RLM 681, and I'll be with you next week. Tech tips are nature willing.
Echoes call the owl. Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, fierce and free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, lessons to learn. Dose by dose, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. Hal's words ignite, the airwaves burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. Law to liberty, the line in house court, no place to hide. A can of wood bass, ready to burst for unspoken truths and unquenchable thirst. Behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. House words ignite, the airways burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. So mark the time when Sunday comes. Behind the woodshed, drums, Hal's voice, a beacon, fierce and bold, in the fight for truth. Call behind the woods.